3, 4, 5, let's go! Beaming to you from the plastic microphone studios deep in the heart of Cajun country, this is Fave 5 from Fans. I'm your host, Jamie Ray. Today, I've invited Nelson G back to the plastic microphone studios to discuss our Fave 5 creatures from television and film. You may remember old TK44421 from episode 102, Fave 5 Alien Invasions. Nelson's a member of the Bast Alpha Garrison of the 501st Legion, a Star Wars cosplay group that performs some really amazing volunteer work. We're set up in the average home theater situated inside Nelson's house. We've just scarfed down some Domino's pizza. Sponsorships are welcome, by the way, if anybody from Domino's is hearing this. Gift cards, whatever.
Whatever. We're not picky.
Yeah, I'll even eat your cracker crust if I have to. And we're about ready to commence operations. First off, I want to give Nelson a little bit of time to tell you what is the average home theater.
Well, the average home theater it's my man cave. And I named it this because I feel like any average Joe can have something, you know, it's easily attainable. Nothing fancy. You can get yourself a budget projector and a little bit of surround sound, and you get that theater-like experience in your home. So that's kind of where my, you know, idea of the name came from, and when I started my little YouTube channel, and then it kind of morphed into a lot of reviews of movies that I watch in my theater.
Right.
So, yeah.
So you watch a lot of Blu-rays and DVDs of movies.
Blu-rays, DVDs,
4K. But as of today, you're venturing into some new areas.
Yeah, it's a new technology. I don't know. It hails back from the, I think, early 80s.
Late 70s.
It was late 70s. Yeah. But it didn't become like household until almost the 90s, where it was like average person had that.
Right. The mid to late 80s, you could go into video stores.
Oh, we're talking about VHS, by the way.
Yeah. you could go into the, and you could rent movies and players.
And the VCR. I remember doing
VCPs.
That. VCPs?
Yes, players, where you could only play
so
on them.
It wasn't recording.
Right.
It
wouldn't record. And then you could, later on, you could get, and then it would become where you could pay, you know, $150, $170 and buy, you know, a VCR. And then it was, you know, two head and four head and mono and stereo. And
I even saw, when I was looking for mine, so I bought one that was brand new. I say brand new, but it had never been used. It was still in the package. And, as I was doing my research, trying to find one that was in good condition, I saw six head. I didn't realize they made six head VCRs. Yep. That must have been a little bit later, and they must not have been very popular, because
I think it was probably near the end. So the technology, even though it was better, less and less people were buying it.
Mm-hmm. So they were trying to come out with something new to attract people to buy them. Yeah, so, now we have six head VCRs.
So therefore the clarity was supposed to be better.
Okay.
But, you know.
But anyway, this one never been used, and you and I sat here and sampled Twister,
yep,
watching it, and it's glorious.
It is. So this thing that you bought, I looked it up. It's 22 years old.
Okay.
And it looked like it was brand new. Still had the stickers. It still had that wrap on it. That's like a little thin foam wrap. Mm-hmm. So that was
still
glorious.
Taped.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I kind of felt like I should leave the room, you know, at one point, because you, yeah, and hooked
it up. It's a good thing I wasn't in here by myself.
What? No kidding. You probably put Star Wars on. But it is. It's got a great picture. I mean, obviously, it doesn't look like what we have today.
Correct.
but there is that nostalgia of watching movies from that time period on the way that we could watch.
And just the charm, you know, this was the standard.
Exactly. You know? So that was very cool. So you can go to YouTube, to the Average Home Theater, and subscribe, and you can see that video.
Yes, I will put it up there.
And be marveled at the cinematography.
Right. You know, that's, yes, I did have a good man behind the camera.
Yeah. So, creatures. The idea came from you.
Yeah.
And we had a little discussion about it. But before we talk about that, tell me, why creatures?
Well, I'm a sucker for a creature feature. And I think what makes them interesting is most of the time, they're not very good movies. Mm-hmm. As far as, you know, what the standard of a good movie really is.
Right.
It's like guilty pleasures. You know, most of the time, a good creature feature is a guilty pleasure.
Okay.
You know, like Lavalantula or something like that. which is not on my list, by the way, but I really did enjoy that one.
Really?
Anyway, that's why I thought it would be fun. Scratch it off. I just thought it would be fun, something a little different to talk about.
And so as we got into the conversation, I think we both decided these were going to be somewhat non-humanoid creatures.
Right. Creature from the Black Lagoon would be too easy.
Yes, it would. So I followed that except for one. And when we get to that, I'll explain why. But same thing. It's doesn't necessarily have to be alien. It can be mythological. It can be interdimensional. It can whatever. As long as it kind of gives you, evokes that your mind looks at it, and it's just not quite right.
I mean, there were so many. It was hard to narrow it down to seven, you know, because I had just two honorable mentions. And it's kind of sad what my honorable mentions are, because some people would say that should be like number one.
But it doesn't matter, because it's not their favorite. It's your favorite.
That's correct.
Well, good. Well, you know, we don't need to really go much more into it. I think that's a good criteria, good groundwork. I'm actually really excited to go to this list, because I have no idea if we're going to have any crossovers.
We probably will.
You know, okay, I'm going to leave it right at that. Will.
I think so.
All right.
We'll see.
How many do you think we're going to have?
I think we're going to have one, possibly two.
Okay. We'll see. Now, I do want you to know...
not in the honorable mentions.
Okay. I did use a very unique criteria for this, because I purposely wanted to go back and look at the things that really made me go, that's interesting, that's frightening, that's nightmarish.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the things that I think might be on your list are probably not on mine, because I really dug deep into horror.
Okay.
So, and one sci-fi. So, I mean, actually, we're ready. I say we go ahead and get started with your honorable mention.
So, I stuck to the rules because I'm a rule follower.
Okay.
And I just have two.
Okay. Good for you. I was really thinking it was going to be 22. But,
I mean, I could have put many more.
What? No kidding.
Well, at least I probably had about four or five more I could have put, but I just stuck with two. And look,
I appreciate that.
And one of these is considered one of the greatest movies of all time, but it's just I love the movie, but as far as like guilty pleasure creature feature that I can just throw on and, you know, have a good time with, and it doesn't feel like a chore, and that's Jaws.
Bruce,
that's my first honorable mention, because I love the movie. I think it's fantastic, but it's not something I can watch all the time. I watch it around 4th of July. But it's, you know, it's such a good movie that I have to be fully engaged. And I don't know, it's just, it didn't feel like it needed to be on this list for me because of how I was making my list.
Right.
A little more guilty pleasure, kind of silly in some of them.
I'm sure Jennifer will applaud your choice, no matter what the reasoning behind it. I just actually ended up watching it just like maybe last week, because I guessed it on another show, where that's all we did is talked about favorite Jaws moments.
Okay.
And so I did rewatch it for the Jacked Up Review podcast show with Cam Sully. And that was a lot of fun. So I'm right there with you that it is a great creature. Though it did not make my list because there is no nightmare fuel to it. So that's kind of why where I think we're going to, you know, diverge.
We'll have completely different lists, maybe.
Exactly.
Okay.
So we'll see. All right. What about your
own? And then the next one is The Meg, the first one.
The first one.
Okay. I really enjoyed that. I remember when I watched it, I enjoyed it way more than I thought I would. I was like, man, I really like that.
Low standards.
I really did like it.
You know, we go in thinking it's going to be a crap movie.
Right. And then I watched the second one.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it's that bad?
I was so disappointed.
Really?
So disappointed. Oh, wow. So, yeah, that one's...
I'm still going to see it, though.
Yeah, watch it. I mean, I watch it on HBO Max.
Oh, okay, okay.
But it was... Yeah, no. This one, I love the first one.
Yeah. The first one was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what it comes down to is like, I just watched a movie called The Black Demon, which is about...
Oh, yeah.
The mythical Mexican god shark.
On the oil rig?
Yeah. Really low expectations for it. I was hoping it was going to be good, and I wasn't disappointed, but it is not something that I would tell someone else. You really got to go and watch this movie.
Is it on Prime?
Prime? It was on Prime. Yeah. So, good film. All right. Two solid finned creatures. I dig that. Okay. Well, be prepared, because my first one is from a movie you've never seen and probably never heard of, back from 1981. It's called Possession. It stars an extremely young Sam Neill as a secret agent, CIA-ish guy. Really?
I think I've heard of it, but keep continuing.
Okay. So he comes back from a mission to find his wife is acting really, really strange. And I'm not going to give too much of it away, but the creature is basically, they refer to it as the tentacle monster. For her, he actually becomes a godlike figure that is to be worshipped, and then eventually giving herself over to him. And it's kind of a Lovecraftian look to this monster. And we find out at some point that she is intimate with this creature, with all of these tentacles. So
yes, I have not seen it.
Yes.
But I'm pretty sure I've heard of it.
Okay. There's this amazing scene earlier in the film where the main actress she just has this amazing fugue fit in a tunnel, and she's slamming herself around on the walls and all of this stuff. But I chose this creature, the tentacle monster, because of the unsettling way that it made me feel. It was by far the most, for me, most unsettling part of the entire movie. And it was created by Carlo Rambaldi, which you may be familiar with because he was a special effects artist and creator of the head for the original Xenomorph for the Alien film. He passed away back in 2012, but he won 3 different Oscars. One for a special achievement award for best visuals in 77 for the 76 version of King Kong, and respectively in 80 and 83 for Alien and E.T. So this guy made some of the very memorable...
It's a good resume.
It is. It's a really good resume. So Anna, the main character here, she's just... Everything ends up becoming about this monster. This god, if you will. And there's never a true explanation of what happens. But when she's getting all involved with him, she ends up basically sacrificing people to it. And she's kind of trying to, I guess you would say, help the creature to become human in form. So, anyway, if you ever get a chance, YouTube it, look it up. It's a very disturbing scene. So
I'll definitely do that, because after our last conversation, I watched Life Force.
Yeah, and what'd you think?
Oh, it's interesting.
Uh-huh.
It was interesting.
Space vampires.
Space vampires.
The whole Patrick Stewart character, for me, is just being such a huge Star Trek fan, which is by far the better fandom than Star Wars. I really enjoyed seeing him in this minor-ish role.
Right. So, anyway. Yeah, because it was only a few minutes of screen time.
Right, right. Yeah. You know? Man, I really thought you would argue the point there, but I guess you finally conceded that Star Trek is better than Star Wars.
No, I mean...
That's really awesome.
The people know.
I'm glad to see that you've really accepted it.
I don't have to say.
So, the next...
Every troop I've been on, nobody's ever said, where's Captain Picard, you know?
Captain...
It's always, hey, where's Darth Vader? Or, you know, hey, Stormtroopers are awesome. You know, that's usually what I get.
Wow. You know your mom is paying them to say that, right? But anyway, it's not important. Let's move on to my... other honorable mention, which is Modor, M-O-D-E-R, Modor, from the 2017 movie Ritual.
Man, I really enjoyed that movie.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, yes.
So this is basically the child of Loki and like a Scandinavian, obscure North Sweden type, I don't know what you call it. A Jotnar. It's kind of like a troll giant that was a rival of the Asgardian gods. And so the only way to explain this creature is that it looks like a giraffe and the skeleton of a bull had a baby with a porcupine.
Right.
Okay.
It has a little minotaur look. It does. Something else.
And then it has little human hand arms that are kind of shaped like a T-Rex.
Now, I'm gonna upset you.
That's okay.
Because the creature was actually the part I disliked the most about the movie.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I thought the movie was awesome. And then when you see the reveal, I was like, wait, that's it?
So you didn't think it had this really surreal look to it?
No. I didn't really like it.
Wow.
So that's the end of this episode. No, I'm joking.
No, I've gotten used to your bad taste. So it's really, really okay. I mean, come on. You know?
But I remember watching the movie and being totally enthralled.
Yes.
Here in the average
out there, man. I mean,
and in the average home theater, you can hear him in the rear speakers and everything. Like it was creepy. I thought the movie was great. Until the reveal of the creature, then I was a little disappointed. I don't know. And it could have been expectation.
Oh,
like you said, you know, you go into something and you think you have a vision of what you think it's going to look like or what it's going to be, and it's something completely different. So maybe in a rewatch, I'll appreciate it a little bit more.
I can see where you're coming from. I, on the other hand, was not expecting anything. I was just all into it because, you know, you like get the scene where I don't know, it shows like a scene of a gas station in the middle of the forest with the weird lights.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, so I was like, one of the few times that I know nothing about a movie.
Yeah, I knew nothing about it.
Yeah, too. So I don't think I was expecting this, but it gave me, and you can tell where my love stands, it gave me kind of a, a Mountains of Madness type feel to it. Again, like a creature that was not of this earth type deal. But not of space either. It really was something that probably was known 1,000 years ago.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, because that's what they say. Basically, it's a ritual, right? That's the end of the movie.
Exactly. Yeah,
so it's been going on for years and years and years. Yeah.
So, interesting connection. The special effects was done by Nick Alder, an English special effects supervisor and coordinator. He actually won an Academy Award for Best Visual Effects for the 1979 movie Alien. Okay.
Good movie.
Yeah.
If you like awesome movies.
And just like the tentacle creature, that guy worked on it as well, you know. And he's worked on Braveheart, a little movie called Empire Strikes Back. Fifth Element. Yeah, you've heard of it? Yeah, it's pretty cool. So he also won a BAFTA award for his work on Legend.
With Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise, yeah. So that's Modor from The Ritual that
Interesting.
Nelson doesn't like. And that's,
yeah, and that's why that didn't even cross my mind, I guess.
Really? Okay. All right. Well, let's pop it back to you and find out what your creature number five
is. Okay, number five. This is a movie that I saw many times growing up, and I hadn't watched it for years and years. And I bought the DVD a while back, didn't even watch it. And I see, how long ago was that? That was a few years ago, but then I did. And in preparation for this, I watched it again.
Okay.
Just to confirm. And it's a guilty pleasure.
All right.
It kind of flopped at the box office. But I don't know. It's one of those, it's right here.
You okay.
know what I'm saying? It's right here in the chest. I'm with you. Because I
saw it. Nelson is pointing towards his chest.
Right. Deep Star 6.
Love that movie.
Yeah. I watched Leviathan. No, that's Leviathan.
That's Leviathan. Okay, so this
I don't like the Leviathan. I like Deep Star 6.
This is Greg Evigan, right?
Who's that? I know it's the girl Peebles is the
Nia Peebles?
Yes. She's in it, and a few of the actors were huge back then. I just can't remember. Their names escape.
Yeah, it's
me.
Greg Evigan, Nancy Everhard.
Yep. Yeah, she's the mom.
Miguel Ferrer.
Miguel Ferrer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's one of those, and it's directed by Sean S. Cunningham, who did mm-hmm. Friday the 13th and all that good
yes.
stuff. So it was a low budget movie. It came out the same year as The Abyss. The okay. Abyss had like a $50 million budget, and this had a $9 million budget.
Right. But it had the better poster.
But it had the better poster, yes, the half-eaten guy.
That, I was managing a video store when that movie came out
really?
On VHS, and we had a huge stand-up.
I was 8.
You were 8.
Or 9.
Okay, well, I could have rented you if you'd have come to Alexandria, I'd have rented you a Disney movie. Describe the creature.
The creature is... I guess it's supposed to be prehistoric sea creature mm-hmm. that they let out of a cavern that, you know, whenever...
they were drilling?
It was a bomb.
A bomb.
They were drilling, but there was a bomb that was accidentally detonated. And whenever it opened or whatever, it caused all kind of damage to the what do you call it?
The little submersible?
Submersible station that they're in.
Okay.
You know? Anyway, and the creature gets loose and all that good stuff and wreaks havoc. You know? So it's got like, it looks almost like a praying, not a praying mantis, Venus flytrap.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Thing, you know? And like from Little Shop of Horrors.
Audrey 2.
It kind of looks like that.
Yeah.
But in water.
So for those who don't know, Greg Evigan was... known as BJ McKay on the most amazing TV show ever made, BJ and the Bear, about a truck driver who would drive cross country trying to escape Sheriff Lobo with his best friend, a monkey named Bear.
Okay.
Okay. He also made the TV series Tech War, which also starred William Shatner, based on books that William Shatner had written. And I also just watched a movie last night called Stripped to Kill, where Greg Evigan is like a police officer type deal in it.
Okay.
So, yes, I'm very familiar with Greg Evigan. So, good choice.
Well, yeah, I love Deep Star 6. That's one of those. And anytime I ask any of my friends if they've ever seen it, they've never even heard of it.
Really?
So, yeah, no, it's so
I'm
strange.
I'm with you, man. I'm so with strange. You. All right. Well, oddly enough, my number five is from 1988, right there. And if you were only...
I was born in 80.
Eight, so you were probably around 7 or 8 years old. It's quite possible that you could have been in this movie.
Oh?
Because it was filmed just down the road in Abbeville.
Oh, The Blob.
I am talking about the remake of The Blob.
The Blob.
Yes.
Great movie.
So... some people may be, oh, I can't believe the original Steve McQueen. It's all like,
no.
Yes, it's a great movie. I love it. It's got a great ideas. But the creature, the blob in this movie was really jacked up. Okay. And again, like I said, it was filmed like not even
10 minutes from here.
Yeah, 10 minutes from here in Abbeville, Louisiana. They took over the town. Because it had exactly what they wanted, which was the town hall at the down at the very end of the big middle street. So they turned it into a Colorado ski town. Mm-hmm. And pretty much you can't swing a dead cat in this town without hitting somebody who was an extra in the movie or whose sister played in the band.
Yeah, my dad worked in Abbeville the majority of his life. Oh, and yeah. He remembers when all that was going on.
It's crazy. It's crazy. So basically it follows the original story. And I'm sorry, I said Colorado. I meant California. But a meteor crashes outside Arborville, California. And an elderly man discovers it. That has a sphere with this slime inside of it. And when he goes to touch it, it jumps onto him. And three high school students find him, take him to the hospital. And later on, you find out it was a government experiment type thing gone wrong. The special effects were handled by Tony Gardner, who originally was only supposed to do a few things, but my understanding was that Lyle Conway, who was going to be in charge, had personal changes and ended up having to leave, and Mr. Gardner took that place. He worked alongside several people trying to figure out different ways to make this look the way that it did. And it was definitely a pinkish look more than the dark crimson red. But there's
the lots, kills are brutal.
So brutal.
Brutal.
I love it. They came up with so many different ways to make it look the way that it did. They used everything from mayonnaise to silk bags, all of these different things. Interestingly enough, he went on after that to be in movies, do movies like Zombieland, 127 Hours. But Gardner is maybe best known for having created the helmets for Daft Punk. That's that kind of electric, and they have the helmets that flash words across from them and stuff. And he also wrote and directed their music video, The Prime Time of Your Life.
Okay.
So, anyway.
Well, I love the... there's one scene... it's a miniature, I think, is how they did it. But the girl in the phone booth.
Yes.
I love that one.
And the way it jumps up into it. Oh, yeah. So, that movie had Shawnee Smith from the Saw movies in it.
Okay.
She was one of there were two guys and a girl who found the old man that had the blob on him.
Yeah, because the main character is Dylan.
Yes.
Is it Corey? It's Matt Dylan's brother. Is it Corey Dylan? Is that his name?
Oh, you know what? You got me there. I was more worried about the creatures than the people. Yeah. So, but that could be right. That could be,
the one that's on Entourage.
Oh,
he's
okay.
He's in the show Entourage.
Yeah, that's the guy who plays somebody in that thing, Turtle, I think. I don't know.
I don't remember. He just had awesome hair.
Oh, don't even tell me about hair.
I know, I'm losing mine.
Yeah. But you can tell me about your number four.
Number four is pretty straightforward, but it's just, as I've gotten older, actually, it's become more of a favorite than whenever I was younger. And that's Cujo.
Yes.
Cujo.
Okay.
I love it. And the more I watch it as an adult, the more I appreciate it.
Right.
Because I can remember, and I know you do, the time where, you didn't have cell phones. You didn't have so she truly was alone. Like, there was no way for communication to get out to anybody. And it's very scary whenever you can relate to that. I can remember my car breaking down at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't have a cell phone. I was 19 years old, and I had to walk to a payphone to call my parents all that good stuff. So just thinking about that, if I was in a situation and this rabid dog was after, nowadays you just pick up your phone and just call somebody.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a dog. Can y'all come help me? Yeah. So I don't know. And Cujo is just the fact that he was a good dog
such a good boy.
He, becomes this killing machine. I don't know. It's just a great movie.
And so the creature itself like you said, it's such a sweet dog, mm-hmm. and then just, you know, degrades over the course of the time and whatnot. Just from
and how the simple, they put the just the make font. Him look so nasty yeah. and I don't know. They did a really good job with it. They had to use Rottweilers in some scenes uh-huh. because the dog wasn't mean enough to even look remotely right. mean. So to get him to growl, they had to use a Rottweiler. And
do you know how they got him to attack the car at certain food, times?
Like yeah, treats and stuff.
But
right?
another way, they had a guy in a suit.
Oh, the bite suits?
Yes.
To make him want to go
no, no,
after?
No, a oh. Cujo suit.
Oh, yes, yes, an actor in the dog suit. Uh-huh. Yes, 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 yes.
When he wouldn't do, you know, the, what like they you needed said, him the meanness, mm-hmm. he just didn't have it in him, they put a guy in a suit. And
did oh, okay.
it. Yeah. So I've talked to Dee Wallace in person, and she is such a sweet movie, a sweet lady. And she said this movie just, it took so much out of her, you know, yeah. to do. But I love the fact that it's all of these things that just go wrong
mm-hmm.
in the movie to put her where she is. Just
yeah, know. She said people ask her all the time, how hot was it? It was actually cold.
Mm-hmm.
And so because she said that, whenever I watched it this last time, you can see
really?
People's breath. Yeah, a couple
oh,
of
wow,
scenes.
Wow, yeah.
You can tell it was chilly.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, yeah, that last scene is something else, mm-hmm. man. When she finally gets the kid, and well, I won't spoil it if you haven't seen it. I mean, it's only been out a few years.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah. I finally got producer Nick to watch it. He had never
oh, really?
Seen it. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good one. Again, there's certain movies you just don't need to remake either. So
no,
just
please,
leave it alone.
God, don't.
Somebody told me today that they're coming out with a remake of The Color Purple.
Why?
That was my exact response.
Now, I can honestly say I don't remember the movie. I know I saw it when I was a kid,
right.
but. You know, there's just certain things you don't need to remake. And
you
that's
especially
one of them.
A period piece.
Right.
You know, it's one thing like...
And Cujo's a period piece. No,
it's one thing if it's a movie that you want to update and bring up, mm-hmm. you know, to current time. But if it's a movie set in, you know, the 1800s or the 1600s or whatever, mm-hmm. there's not a lot to... You know, if it's a great movie, just leave it.
Leave it,
you know?
Right. You remake so, bad movies.
Yeah, that's what they should do.
Yeah.
But they remake
Now, what
movies.
They need to do with Cujo is they need to restore it. It needs a good restoration.
Oh, okay. okay.
So
you just can't see the foam good enough.
Right. It just, you know, I would love to see it, you know. Now, I have a VCR now.
That's
so
true.
I do like the way things
Four
look.
Four heads. Yeah.
Forehead VCR.
I tell you, Twister was looking good before we started.
It could use a remaster because yeah. I like both. I like to see them in their original form, but I also like to see,
yeah.
you know.
We got to get you a big, you know, 30-inch CRT TV.
My mom has a... 20 inch for me.
20 inch.
Sitting at the house. I need to get it in here.
Get it over here, man.
Yeah.
Though I mean, honestly, I could kind of see where the room doesn't need it, but it would be cool if you had like something over here on the side and you could put, you know, that TV
well,
and some other.
I want to put it right there. I want to put like a little retro station because I have my. Original Nintendo. I have my original Atari.
See, that would be great.
Things like that.
Because so, you know, certain games won't play on.
Yeah, like the gun games won't mm-hmm. play.
Yeah.
And also other games, the delay is so bad when it's reliant on timing, like Mike Tyson's Punch Out, you get your butt kicked because you're hitting the buttons correctly,
yeah.
but it's not, it takes the TV or, in my case, a projector, it takes too much, like a millisecond too long.
But still, yeah,
and it delays it to where you, yeah.
Wow. Well,
so, yes, I do need a regular
TV. Get your butt over to your mama's then.
Yep, yeah, well. Yeah. I need to get a piece of furniture that'll fit there and hold it.
That would be cool. That would yeah. be cool. Okay, well, then I'm going to pair your dog with a warrior bug from the 1997 Starship Troopers.
Oh
yes, they're also called
the
Arachnid Warriors. Yes,
yeah.
Again, these creatures, even though they kind of look like bugs and kind of look like spiders, they call them arachnids, but they don't even have the right number of.
They
legs.
Don't have 8 legs,
right? They're still incredibly ferocious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I love the Starship Troopers book. I've read it a couple of times. But the movie just brought this creature to life like no other. And there's a lot of great creatures in this movie, too. Mm-hmm. You've got the brain bug, mm-hmm. you've got these, and then there's, I think there's flyers, maybe, or something. But for me, it was always these arachnids. They were designed by a special effects group called the Tippett Studios and Sony Pictures Imageworks. But it got to be that the scale was so large, they of course ended up bringing in ILM. Supposedly of the $110 million of the budget, half of it was for the over 500 special effect shots. This was led by, what's his name? Hayes. Anyway, so they wanted to take the look to it and make it kind of hard to distinguish what was a pincher and what was a head and what was a jaw. So if you look at the creatures, they don't really have a distinguishable eye stalk, or, you know, we know where their quote-unquote mouth is, but the look of them just looks like they're just killing machines.
I have the 4K, so we'll have to...
Oh, do you? Okay, yeah. Well, we're going to pause it right now and watch that movie, and then we'll be back with you.
Paul Verhoeven's great, though.
Oh, he's so... This, and, you know, this movie is such a master of... both understatement and overplay, because you look at it and you see what a play it is on, you know, socialism, you know,
so
being the, yeah, you know,
we roll with the iron fist,
you know,
we take by force.
Citizen, do you want to know more? You know, so, but at the same time, you've got this over the top stuff, especially the scene I love with Neil Patrick Harris, where it's like a commercial and they've got one of the brain bugs and it, you know, just, it's just this over the top stuff. But I really, really love these. So the Arachnids are going to be number 4.
Man, I remember when that came out, I was about 17, if it was in 97. But I remember the first time I watched it, it was kind of like, some of the, you know, when they grabbed some of the soldiers and they were just ripping them apart, up.
Yeah. You know, cut them in half, you know?
Great stuff.
Michael Ironside was so good in that movie. Yeah. Jeez.
He's always good, though.
Always good. So, why don't you tell us what your number 3 is?
Number 3 came out a few years ago. I didn't write the year down. Crawl, the alligator movie. I love
it. Yes, I love that movie.
I love it.
Alexander.
Barry Pepper is the main character.
Yes, but I mean the director.
The director.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's ridiculous. Because there's no way you would outswim an alligator.
I don't know, man. She was on the swim team.
You know what I'm saying? But the tension, like whenever they're in the crawl space.
Yes.
I mean, that, man, that's good stuff.
Even when they're in the house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as absurd as it seems.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the movie is ridiculous, but it's still great.
And
it almost made, like you were saying, though, could it be true? Like, could it happen?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could get caught by an alligator in Florida during a hurricane. I mean,
protecting its young.
Right. I mean, we have alligators here that show up at people's doorsteps all the time.
Man, I went to New Orleans this past weekend. On the way back, there was a dead alligator on the side of the road.
There you go.
I was thinking, man, that's shoes and boots right there. You know, I was very surprised actually that it was on the side of the road. I figured some couillon would have stopped and picked it up.
So yeah, I don't know. I really like it. It's fun to watch. Mm-hmm. It's like an hour and a half, you know, quick.
Yeah.
Quick and dirty.
Yeah, and you know, you've got so many different layers to the...
We can relate to the hurricanes.
Yes, we can, you know. And that whole scene where the waters come up and there's like a gas station,
mm-hmm,
and the people are breaking it. It's just this.
And it pulls them under the water and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, something else. Well, that's a good pick. I like that.
It's a fun movie.
I see kind of where the pattern has developed here, where you're looking at more
like animals.
Animal kind of creatures and stuff, and I can dig that. So my number 3 is a departure from everything that we've talked about, in that the majority of this movie, I think you would say this creature is humanoid-based.
Okay.
Okay? And by that, I mean, this is the 2008 movie called Splinter. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but I would suggest that you find it. So the movie is about an organism that basically looks like a black splinter.
Okay.
And
so Splinter, not the rat Splinter from Ninja Turtles.
Right, but the same spelling.
But the same spelling.
Just like that. And who knows? Maybe Splinter got a splinter, and that's why he's such a, you know, big... So what this thing does is that it attacks or gets into a creature's flesh.
Okay.
At one point, I think it starts off, it's like a skunk or something. And a skunk gets run over by this vehicle that has a bank robber and his girlfriend on the run.
Okay.
And they've picked up two people who were like they're hostages. So anyway, as the guy's checking his tire, he gets the splinter in him. And it basically poisons you.
Okay.
And the organism takes over the body and uses it to go out and take over other things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, not to get too graphic, but at one point, a sheriff deputy shows up and gets basically dismembered.
Okay, I like
And the splinter creature puts itself back together, but not in the right way.
Okay.
So that's why I put this on my list. It's because at one point it does use a human host or human hosts.
I'll allow it.
But it does. Oh, well, thank you. But it doesn't use them like a zombie does.
Right.
You know, as a matter of fact, it also
or can. Or like, what was my other one? Slither on my Alien Invasion. Yeah,
exactly. So the graphics are awesome in this movie. I say graphics, you know, the special effects.
I put it on my watch list already.
Well, awesome, because I really think it had a very low kind of budget feel to it, but they really, really delivered.
I see Jill Wagner's in it.
Yes.
I know her from Wipeout.
Oh, okay. Remember
the TV series Wipeout?
That's where they would jump from things?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
She was the host on that for a while.
There's really only about four major people in this movie, and they all do an incredible job. They talk about, because, you know, I'm always, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, but they talk about the fact that they based their idea on this organism on a real life parasitic fungus, Ophiocordia syptici family.
Oh, yeah.
Which is based off of All of Us.
I don't know. Yeah.
No, that's what The Last of Us.
The Last of Us, the fungus. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so it's completely different usage of it.
Gotcha.
But anyway, it's really, you know, it's really done well. And like I said, the CGI is used a lot, but in a way that it doesn't feel faked. So, anyway, I think it's still on Amazon, I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you have to rent it.
You have to rent it?
What I saw.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. I would definitely tell you, especially if it's $1.99, it's worth it.
Man, I don't know. That's... I don't know if I can afford that. I mean, I just bought a VCR.
That's true, but you got a great deal on it. So, we are finally at our penultimate...
That's your $5 word?
That's my $5 word that I have to use every episode.
Okay, so number two is, this is actually just coincidence that it's the same type of creature, but Lake Placid.
Oh. Okay,
first of all, Bill Pullman.
I'm sorry. When you're talking about humans in this movie, you have to start with Betty White.
Betty White.
Oh, my.
Well, I mean, she's kind of, you know, it's kind of her fault. You know,
yeah, but she's got a mouth on her, man.
Yeah, I hope he eats all of you or something like that. Bill Pullman, awesome. Bridget Fonda, mm-hmm. Oliver Platt
mm-hmm.
was great. The guy who plays the sheriff.
Mad-Eye Moody.
That's it. How you say it?
I think it's Mad-Eye Mooney. He was in...
he's Irish or something, yeah, but he was in Gangs of New York as the guy... Well, he was running for mayor against Bill the Butcher, and then Bill the Butcher kills him. But anyway, that's where I know him from. But yeah, I don't know. This movie's a lot of fun. It's silly.
Yes.
It was very popular from what I remember.
Oh, my God, I love this movie.
It was really big. This type of movie, you wouldn't think it would be. It was kind of like the Meg of that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was.
And it spawned three or four.
Yeah, there's like three or four.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've only seen the first one.
Yeah, I hear that's probably best.
But it's...
Unless Betty's in the other ones, then I would watch it.
But I can watch this anytime.
Yes. Like
if I see Lake Placid, I can watch it.
Yeah, I have it on DVD.
Oh, there you go.
I love it. That's a great choice.
Mm-hmm.
Again, sticking with the real life mm-hmm. type creatures. Mine, number two, my penultimate choice, you actually dropped here a little while ago.
Oh, did I?
And I'm going to give you three words to see if you can figure it out. Okay? Feed me Seymour.
Feed me Seymour.
Feed me Seymour. Feed me all night long. I'm, of course, talking about Audrey, too, from Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh. but you know what's crazy? I've never seen that movie.
Really?
No, I've never seen it. I've seen, you know, snippets and stuff like that, yes. But I've never actually watched the movie.
Are you okay with musicals? That was an exaggerated
okay. sound. I love Grease.
Okay, you could stop there. You need to watch Little Shop of Horrors then.
All right.
Because the musical stylings in it are very much kind of that kind of feel to Grease.
Because Grease is one of the only musicals that I can watch.
Yeah. Rick Moranis, Steve Martin, Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm.
I think her name's Eva Green. I don't know. Lily's going to be so mad at me for not remembering her name. But all of those, they're all great, but the star of the show is Levi Stubbs as Audrey 2. This is an incredibly elaborate set of puppets that are also kind of like Muppets because there's a guy inside mm-hmm. of it. Lyle Conway, who had worked with Frank Oz on The Muppet Show, Dark Crystal, The Great Muppet Caper, came up with this entire team to make Audrey 2 come alive. And the interesting thing is that she literally comes from a small potted plant to, I mean, huge, 7-8 foot, mm-hmm. you know, weighing hundreds and hundreds of pounds, that all these little spores come out. It's an amazing creation. I think it said it took... They took it and ran the filming of the plant at a slower speed than the rest of the
people. Yes, I've heard that.
Yep. To make it look, have this kind of otherworldly thing. There's actually no blue screens or optical effects used at it.
Didn't Frank Oz direct it?
Oh my gosh, you are so correct.
It is? Okay.
That's awesome. Give it up.
All right. I know some things.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't know that Star Trek's better than Star Wars, but
I know Frank Oz is Yoda.
So it has six different stages of growth and three different versions when it's actually in the shop. Each of the talking plants had to be independently done. It's just... So you've seen it, so you know what I'm talking mm-hmm. about.
Yeah, I've seen
the... It's a fantastic creature. And it's really good. And if you, wherever you watch it, look to see if they have the alternate ending. Because the alternate ending was the original ending to the
movie. Right, they changed it
because the audiences hated it.
Yeah, that's
so they had to give it this other ending mm-hmm. with the electrocution. Which, by the way, the electrocution is one of the only special effects in the entire movie, just because they didn't want to electrocute the puppeteers. So, anyway, that's my number two, Audrey 2.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to watch that. Yes. I've been on the fence. I'm like, I want to watch it, but it's a musical.
Jamie would probably enjoy it.
She's probably seen it. I mean, she...
I have it on DVD, but it's not streaming anymore.
You don't have it on VHS?
Actually, I do.
That's the preferred...
The preferred...
Medium over here.
No, so... Let's go ask Jamie if that's what she thinks.
Sure.
It's the preferred medium, yes.
What does she say? It looks like crap.
You ruined her for bad movies.
So number one.
Number one.
So this is number one because...
Wait. Let me say this.
Okay.
If we were going to have any crossover, I think it would be on this one. But based on what you've laid out to me before, I now don't think it's going to be a crossover.
I don't think it will be.
Yeah, so...
I don't think it would. It's possible.
It's possible.
But I don't know. So the reason this is number one is not because it's a great movie,
mm-hmm.
but its predecessor, there was a movie that came out before it. Both novels, you know, are great. So the first movie came out, read the novel after the movie.
Uh-huh.
So then I got addicted to this author. So then I read another book and I was like, man, they need to make this into a movie.
I know where you're going with this.
And so that would be Congo.
No, that's not where I'm I thought you were going to go Jurassic Park.
Well, that's the thing. So Jurassic Park came out, I was 13, and I read the book after the movie, of course, because the movie blew me away. And then I started reading Michael Crichton.
Yes.
And I read Sphere and Congo. And I remember thinking, man, all of his books can be great movies, you know? And it turns out not so much. But I still enjoy them because I love the stories. The Congo book is great. The movie follows it for the most part, but they do change a couple of things that are, you know, like the talking Amy that I don't think that's, if I remember correctly, I don't think that's in there. But it's just a guilty pleasure. And I loved it when I was 15 years old, and I watch it all the time.
So
I
can
watch
it. A VHS copy.
I need, and I had one. Gave it away. An idiot. Mm-hmm. But yes, Congo, I love it. I was always fascinated by the other gorillas. Like, it's almost like a Yeti. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they could be real, but are
they? So explain the creature that you are picking.
The gray gorilla. They just call them gray gorillas in the movie.
Okay.
Have you ever seen it?
I have, but it was a long time ago. And
so they're basically like mutated.
Forgettable.
Or they were like bred, I think is kind of what they say. They were bred a certain way. I don't know what you breed them with. And they were trained to protect the gold of the emperor.
Okay.
Or the ruler of the city of Zinj. So there was a ruler and he protected his diamonds, which is what they were after the whole time.
All right.
They were after the diamonds for the technology. They would use the diamonds in this laser technology.
Okay.
So they get a team together. Bruce Campbell, he dies with, you know, he only has like 5 minutes of screen time.
Yeah.
And they send another crew to go and find that first crew that disappears. And they find the city of Zinj. They find the diamonds, but it's all being protected by these killer apes. Okay. And they look like gorillas, but their faces are a little messed up. And they're built just like them, but they're gray in color.
Okay. Okay. I'm with you.
So they're they're scary, especially whenever you're young. It's like, oh.
It's not what you see in the
thing. Yeah, they look, you know, they don't look like a regular gorilla's face. They're a little bit meaner and they're ugly.
So, yep. You got me there. So we are not going to have any crossover.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Can you guess what my number one would be?
I really don't know, man. You've picked some kind of obscure stuff. So
this one is not obscure at all. It's a very popular film from 1982.
Hold on. No, okay, that's too old. I don't know.
It's a John Carpenter movie.
Oh, The Thing. The Thing. Okay.
Okay, so.
Great movie.
It is. It's a great movie. And it's great creatures. But I have to be very specific because the creature changes and evolves so much.
But
so,
still, I'll allow it.
All right. Well, I've done the homework. And so you've got the Blair thing, which is, you know, kind of near the end of the movie. You've got the dog thing.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the chest chomper thing.
Right.
You've got the creature at the end. Okay. But the choice for me of all of the different thing iterations has got to be the head.
The spider?
The spider head. So there's so much going on in this scene.
Mm-hmm.
You've got people who are tied together. You've got a character who just had his hands taken off. Charles comes in. I mean, all of these things are going on. And as they're trying to put the fire out, the head, Blair's head just kind of melts off onto the ground.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Spider legs come out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an amazing piece of, again, not CGI.
Correct.
You know, not.
It's, see 2011 thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then look at CGI.
Exactly. Now, I will say I love the 2011 thing. Okay. I thought the movie should have been called The Other Thing or something, because I hate when they name the movie exactly.
They bill it as a prequel, but I remember there were some things that didn't quite line up. Like, it didn't make sense as a prequel.
Well,
it was weird.
I totally understood it being a prequel. And I thought that they went... I thought they did a very good job of lining up as much as they could.
But there was one... I can't remember what it is. There was one glaring thing I was like...
I would love to know what that is, because I don't remember. Glaring thing.
No pun intended. There was one glaring thing that I can't remember what it is, and I was like, that doesn't make any sense. And I'm... That's why I don't particularly like Star Wars prequels and stuff like that, because of the plot holes and everything that they create. And
the only thing I wish is that they could have gotten Kurt Russell to just 30 seconds at the very, very end.
At the very end. Yeah.
You know, I just thought that would have been awesome. But anyway, so back to this. So I don't know how much you know about Rob Bottin, who had worked on The Fog previously. But obviously, there was so much work to be done that Carpenter decided, you know, they needed some other people involved. One of those people being Stan Winston.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, long story short, Rob is working all of these 35 people underneath him, doing all of these effects, doing all of this stuff. Stan comes in, I think, specifically to do the dogs, if I'm not mistaken. And at the end of the shoot, they get everything that Carpenter wants. Bottin literally goes into the hospital from exhaustion.
Really?
Yes. He was so wiped out. And then when it came time for the movie to come out, they, of course, wanted Stan Winston to have his name on it. And he said no. And it's not no because the effects were bad. It's no because Rob gets this acknowledgement.
Gets the credit.
And there's a special thanks to Stan Winston underneath. But, and that just, again, that's why I think this guy was such a class act.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Rob did it. I helped, but Rob did it.
Right, that's his baby.
Yes, you know? And it's just, it's, you know, it had so many different people working. You've got mold makers, you've got, you know, people doing hair, makeup, and all of this stuff just on the effects. Not even on the people, mm-hmm. you know, just on the effects. And this creature is so scary and so just perfect
mm-hmm.
that it had to be my number one.
And the movie itself is just
phenomenal.
The tension and the I made producer Nick watch that one as well. He had never seen it, and he was blown away. He was like, "Man, this was 1980. What?"
Yep.
You know, he was fascinated.
It definitely is a movie that stands up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because even with satellite radio and all of that stuff, you still could have that same isolation feeling. You know, they made a game that I have on for the PC about The Thing. And one of the components, one of the elements of the game is a paranoia meter.
Oh, really?
And if your paranoia meter gets too high, you're basically, you lose because your character goes crazy.
Goes crazy, yeah.
Yeah. So there's that factor added to it where you're still trying to go around and figure out.
They did an X-Files episode based on The mm-hmm. Thing, remember
yeah.
that one?
Yeah, I think it was called Ice, and it's from a very early episode.
Like season 3
one.
Or 4,
No,
huh?
It's season 1.
Is it season 1?
Xander Berkeley was in it.
Okay.
But yeah, it's one of my favorites. I love that show. And it's a great homage to it, you mm-hmm. know? It really was. But anyway, this movie stands, as the guys on the Morals podcast would say, this movie is not only a classic, but it also stands the test of time.
It does. I have the 4K Steelbook in my
there thing you go. Right but do you there. Have the VHS?
I do not.
Okay.
And yeah. it's
we got to make you a list so we can be looking for it.
Yeah, that's going to make my wife very happy.
Very happy. Well, I already told you can pick up a sealed copy of Rocky.
27 G's.
27 yeah. G's. You got that, man.
Of course.
You got that. Just sell a proto pack.
Man, if that's worth 27 G's, I will sell it. Yeah.
Wow. Well, this is really cool. I am very surprised that we didn't have crossover, but
right.
Now that I understand your methodology of choosing them, I shouldn't have been so worried because mine are out there. Though I am extremely impressed that you saw Ritual.
Oh, yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah. Now, if I'd expanded out to more humanoid creatures, do you have somebody that you think would have been in your top, in your list of favorites?
I hadn't even thought about it.
Well, I'm putting you on the spot.
I went straight animals when I thought creature features.
I'm putting you on the spot right now. Give me a humanoid creature that you would use.
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
That's a great one.
That's why I said it would be too easy. I really, really love that movie. Yeah. And I don't know why. I didn't grow up watching it. I didn't see it until I was an adult.
It's a classic.
But it's just, and appreciating, like, as I watch it, I'm like, man, what it would have been like to go see a movie like this and experience that type of stuff. You know, that I think that's why
that's awesome.
It sticks with me.
I think I would have gone with Predator.
Predator?
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest of all time.
It is. I mean, it really is. But it's so humanoid that, you know.
Yeah.
Did you see that they're looking at doing a sequel to Prey? No, I'm sorry, not a sequel. I guess you would just call it another in the
series.
Yeah,
they want to do it in Japan.
Yeah, feudal Japan. That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Wow, well, this was really awesome.
Yep.
Now, good time. This is the part of the show where I say, what are we going to do next?
Well, we have talked about...
Well, we have a complete disarray that we're going to work on for 2024. Where we're going to go through every season of Tales from the Crypt.
Right.
I guess that's probably enough for us right now. Because
that's going to be seven episodes.
And we pick three to four
episodes per season we're each going to take.
And so we're going to start that. We're going to start recording that in January. Is that right?
In a few weeks.
No, that's when it's going to come out.
Right.
It's in January.
Right. We're going to start recording.
And we'll probably do one per month of those. So you've got up till July of 2024 that we'll be beaming into your homes. So
yeah, I love me a good anthology.
All right, well, we're going to do it. We're going to see it. Well, I want to thank you again for having me in your house, showing me Twister, and allowing us to
record. My pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show again.
All right. And I'd also like to thank all of you out there in the podcast universe for joining us for this episode of Faith 5 for Fans. You can catch us and more from the Plastic Microphone Studios wherever you catch your podcast. New episodes come out every Friday, probably in the morning, so check your feeds. It would be a massive help if you would stop and leave us a review or a 5-star rating, or send us, you know, a check would be fine, as long as it's a good check.
Sure, I accept checks.
Yeah. And if you like the show, please consider telling a friend about us. And if you did like the show, maybe tell somebody who, you know, skips in line in front of you, and instead of like getting mad at them, say, oh, you must be, it's more of a rush than I am. By the way, listen to Faith 5 from Fans on your way home. Maybe it'll ruin their day. Who knows? You can find us on our website and on all the social media places. And don't forget about our other show, Complete Disarray with Jamie Ray, where you'll be hearing Tales from the Crypt and other fun things. And we've got another new show coming out in 2024, which, if I do this right, will already be in 2024. So we'll see. So anyway, remember, folks, it may not be the best, it may not be the most popular, but if it's your favorite, then it's good enough for us. Thanks for joining us. Nelson G, take us out.
All right. Thanks for listening. And if you don't mind, if I can have a little shameless plug, check out my channel, Average Home Theater. It's on YouTube and it's on Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts. And we just talk about movies.
And it's above average. Trust me. It's above average.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
that. You're very welcome, sir. Y'all have a good one and see you next time.
Bye.